Our final conversation of the afternoon is with Jeffrey Davis, who is a consultant and an author of Tracking Wonder, Reclaiming a Life of Meaning and Possibility in a World Obsessed with Productivity. And what we're talking about is the consequence of an article I read by Jeffrey Davis, Breaking Out of the Doom Scrolling Cycle. Jeffrey, good morning, US time.
Good morning, John. Thank you for having me.
I think, first of all, we need to define what you mean by doom scrolling.
Yes, that's a good place to start. So Merriam-Webster's actually added it to the dictionary, just defines doom scrolling as referring to the tendency to continue to surf or scroll through bad news, even though that news is saddening, disheartening, or depressing. It's as if we can't help ourselves.
And what I didn't realize properly until I read your article in Psychology Today is that I'm releasing dopamine, as I'm doing this, and up to a certain point, having dopamine released into my body is a good thing. But if I continue scrolling through this bad news, I get an excess of dopamine, which is not good for me.
That's absolutely right. So it's really fascinating, if I could provide a little context for the listeners, is that the past two and a half years, there have been numerous studies from Canada to China to the Caribbean that demonstrate a correlation between excessive screen time and doom scrolling and our increased cases of anxiety and depression. And oddly enough, our innate curiosity is a factor in this. So is it okay if I just explain two parts of the brain that contribute to this, including the dopamine that you referenced?
Yeah, sure.
So one part of the brain is the limbic system, which is designed to tell us when new situations are arising, to sort of alert us to possible danger. And so when we're consuming bad news headlines in social media, that can put our brain on alert, and then our nervous system is on a sort of constant fight or flight alert. But as you referenced, our curiosity, it's the very part of us that wants to seek new knowledge, sometimes to seek new solutions to actual problems that exist in our culture or our countries. And when we're curious, when we get a new piece of knowledge, our brain does release dopamine, as you mentioned. Now, dopamine is this beautiful reward system that actually keeps us going, sometimes through hard situations, to keep seeking new knowledge, to keep trying to innovate new possibilities. But as you referenced, just in the past couple of years, right, as people have been increasingly more on their devices and in front of screens, it turns out that possibly excessive dopamine does correlate with these increased cases of anxiety and depression. And so some scientists are speculating that's because the brain is not having the opportunity to replenish from excessive dopamine. So it's sort of like, you know, a little dopamine hit, just a little bit, kind of feels like a sugar hit. But if your brain for 2 hours, 3 hours straight is releasing dopamine, it's sort of like you're consuming a lot of sugary candy for 2 or 3 hours, and then you have a sort of sugar crash.
So how does one stop, Jeffrey? Because, you know, it should be easy. We're sentient beings, most of us, and we should be able to, okay, I realize it's bad for me, but I'm going to stop. But it's not as easy as that.
It's really not. And in fact, in part, the way social media is designed, I must say, and the way the internet is designed, it makes it even more difficult than maybe it was difficult for us to change impulses 20 years ago. But I do have 4 steps that might be useful for your listeners. One is to identify when you may actually be going down the rabbit hole of what I call digital distraction. You can just kind of like pause yourself and say, am I just constantly consuming the bad news of mass shootings or political turmoil? Are you consciously seeking out information in that moment? Or are you just scrolling to escape another uncomfortable situation? So that's step number one, just identify when you're possibly going down the rabbit hole. 2 is actually to increase a little somatic awareness. That means awareness of what's happening in your body in the moment. So just become more aware of identifying your own symptoms of mental mental exhaustion and fatigue, for instance. You can ask yourself, how do I feel in my body and mind when I spend too much time behind a screen? That increased awareness helps you better able identify when your body's telling you, hey, maybe it's time to stop doom scrolling. Third is really important. So this is where you can become more intentional in directing your innate curiosity. Reflect on which topics tend to hijack your sense of curiosity most. So I know as a father of two young daughters, I get really triggered by anything affecting children. We've had mass shootings in our country recently of children, and that definitely sends me on alert. So I want to be aware of that. And then you can ask yourself, are there certain current events that really do elicit a stronger reaction than others? And so you can be more conscious in seeking out perhaps new knowledge just on those topics. Fourth is related. This is where you guide your curiosity toward what you care about and toward possible action. So depression often comes about because we feel helpless. We feel like we can't do anything. Anxiety sends us in such a state of worry that we're often paralyzed to take action. So fourth is really important. Rather than getting caught in this cycle of doom scrolling, ask yourself, can I intentionally seek out those articles that will help me get more knowledge and ultimately take small steps of action, perhaps, on a topic I care about? So identify what you deeply care about and then direct your curiosity intentionally to seek out that knowledge and perhaps to take some small steps of action to reverse this cycle.
Those are four steps that I certainly need to put into place, and I'm definitely going to try. Jeffrey Davis, thank you very, very much for making yourself available to us.